We've been studying this psalm for a number of weeks now, really a few months, and it's been a blessing to me. I trust that it has been to you as well. As we've previously mentioned, as we've studied this psalm, that David is penning from a human perspective. He's penning the words of the psalm later in life. In his life, we've mentioned the verse that is our text of Scripture for this evening. Though we do not know the exact timing of the writing of Psalm 37, we do know that David references the fact that now I'm old, and some of us are feeling older every day, and we can relate to David making this statement. But we find, as David considered his life and looked back over the years, I believe that as we look at this verse of Scripture in Psalm 37 and verse 25, that he, David, recognized the faithfulness of God. I'm so thankful that the Bible declares to us that our God is faithful, but more than declaring to us that God is faithful, we find so many illustrations throughout the pages of Scripture of our God being faithful. We find over and over where the people of God have given testimony to the faithfulness of God. It's been just an amazing truth. We, of course, have a song that we sing, a hymn that for some might be a favorite. No doubt for many of us, very familiar, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And we can rejoice in knowing that our God is faithful. As we look at Psalm 37 and verse number 25, notice what the Bible says. "I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." If you're taking notes this evening, I'd give a title to the lesson, this, "A Recognition of God's Faithfulness." A recognition of God's faithfulness. As we look at this single verse of Scripture this evening, I want you to note with me, first of all, there's a time of reflection. So we're going to look at David penning the words to this psalm, and of course, all of the truth that God has given us through this psalm at this point, and helping us to understand the plan of God, and helping us to ensure that our focus is where it needs to be, on the eternal perspective, and understanding that God has a plan, and God's way is right, and the blessings that God has in store for the righteous, for those that live godly and do right and trust Him, and all of the admonition that we've been given, we find now that we come to this verse of Scripture, and it seems to me that there's a time of reflection. David begins this verse of Scripture by saying, "I have been young, and now am old." We're going to think about our lives, and we don't necessarily have to be old to have a time of reflection, but in our lives, not contradicting the truth that God gives us in the book of Philippians of forgetting those things which are behind, but pressing forward within the context of that, different than what we're speaking of this evening with this time of reflection, and being able to look back over our lives at whatever point we are. The reality is that none of us know when our last day is going to be. We have no idea. Some think, man, I got these grand plans for retirement, and yet there are people that never make it to retirement. Today, I was out just running a couple of simple errands, and I'm coming back to the church on Random Hills over here, over by Fairfax Corner, and I'm coming down the road, and someone is coming the wrong way head on to me. It's a divided road. Thankfully, there was no accident, there was no tragedy, but we understand that every day is precious, and we just don't know. So this thing of reflection doesn't necessarily have to wait until we're old, as David is saying, "I have been young and now am old." But when I begin to think about David, because he's the human penman to this particular psalm, and we begin to think about his life, and we see this time of reflection, and he's speaking about when he was young. Now, can you imagine? I mean, God records for us so many things about the life of David, and when David would have this time of reflection, can you think with me about all of the things that he would remember, that he would recall, that he would have in his mind about when he was young, and the things that not only that he did, but how he saw God work? You remember that when he stood before Saul, when they were dealing with the Philistines and Goliath, that Saul had his thoughts with regard to David not being able to go into battle. But what does David say? He says, well, the Lord, let me tell you what God did. And he speaks about when he was taking care of the sheep and the bear and the lion and so on and so forth. And we find that David was a man that knew God intimately. And we find that as he would have this time of reflection, and I again think of all that he would reflect on and all that he'd experienced in his life, but really when he thinks about all that God has done for us this evening, I hope that we could take time and have, even as David has, this time of reflection, and we could look back over the years of our lives and we could see the hand of God at work. And we can recognize that God is faithful. We say, well, we've had some difficulties, but God is faithful. God is faithful. We think about where God has brought us to and what He's brought us through and how He's grown us and developed us and all that's taken place. And we find that even as Joseph would give that testimony, that ye meant it unto evil, but God meant it unto good. See, God's hand at work and growing us and developing us. And David, when he's taking this time of reflection, I can't imagine in my life and in your life, as we look back, I hope that you look back and you see God's hand of blessing and you're reminded of God's faithfulness. As we note the recognition of God's faithfulness, I believe that as we think about this time of reflection, that it leads us to our second thought this evening, and it's a time of rejoicing. This time of reflection would lead to a time of rejoicing in David's life. We find that here in verse 25, he says, I have been young and now am old. But notice what he says, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As David reflects, he obviously recognizes the faithfulness of God. Thus, we've used it as our title this evening. But we find that his rejoicing really can be categorized in two aspects in verse number 25. First, I want you to notice that he's rejoicing because of the presence of God. He says this, yet, though I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. That word forsaken means to be left, to be deserted. David says, I've seen and I'm rejoicing because God is faithful. And I think about his presence. What a blessing it is for David. What a blessing it is for us this evening to be reminded of the presence of God in our lives. To know that no matter what it is that we're going through in life, that God is with us. I think about the probably the most familiar psalm in Psalm 23, and we won't take the time to read the entirety of it, though it's only six verses, but he says there in verse number six, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Begin to think about the truth of the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. We dealt with that just a few weeks ago at Christmas time. But think about his presence. As David says, though I was young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. His presence, the presence of God, I would say this, it drives away fear. Drives away fear. You know, it's amazing to me how the presence of a parent in the life of a child will drive away fear. Those of you that have younger children, or those of you that remember when your children were younger, and they were fearful to go into a certain room or down a certain hallway because it was dark, because there were some unknowns, some uncertainties, and maybe they would stand there and they'd say, no, I want you to come with me. And just your presence would relieve fear in the life of your child. Well, our God says He's always with us. By the way, my God's able to do a whole lot for me, a whole lot more for me than I could do for my child. And God says, I'm with you. And His presence drives fear away. His presence, no doubt, brings peace. in the midst of great turmoil, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of all that's taking place in our lives, when we're reminded, listen, did David have difficulties in his life? Sure he did. I mean, before his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah and all that takes place, there were still great periods of time in his life where he dealt with great adversity. I mean, he was brought into the presence of Saul to serve Saul, and he served faithfully, but Saul's trying to kill him. Saul's hunting him down. David dealt with great difficulty, but you know, David, because of the presence of God, it brings peace in our lives. It brings a peace that passeth all understanding. It brings a peace that is unlike what others could even imagine. Because Jesus said this, "My peace give I unto thee, not as the world giveth." See, the Lord gave us a peace that is beyond really our ability to even understand or comprehend. We find that here in Psalm 37 and verse 25, David is taken that time of reflection, and he's now rejoicing because of the presence of God. We have known, of course, and we've referenced Psalm 16 and verse number 11, and his presence brings what? Fullness of joy. So think about the joy, the presence of the Lord. Something that we should never desire to forfeit in our lives. We want to have that joy and that peace and being in his presence and knowing that he has given us this great promise. David says, "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken." Remember with me the promise of Hebrews 13. If you want to turn over there quickly, we'll read just a couple of verses of scripture here in Hebrews 13. And typically, if we were to ask and take testimonies and mention specifically of thanking God for promises, and maybe we just left it at that, typically, if we do that for any length of time, someone is going to reference the promise that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And rightly so. Amen? What a great promise. What a great truth. We find here in Hebrews 13, in verse number 5, notice what the Bible says. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Do you see the impact of the promise in verse number 5? The promise is given, the impact in verse number 6. Because the Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, then we can say with a measure of boldness that the Lord is my helper. And it's going to lead to a place where I have no fear. We used this as our theme song a couple of years ago from Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." It's interesting because in Psalm 124, in verse number 8, the psalmist then says this, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And we find this evening that David is rejoicing here in Psalm 37, this time, this period of reflection leads to a time of rejoicing because he's recognized the faithfulness of God, that God's presence is with him, and he knows the presence of God. And this leads to rejoicing. Notice what he says at the end of verse number 25. "Nor," back in Psalm 37, verse 25, he says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken." Then notice, "nor his seed begging bread." We notice that there's rejoicing for the presence of God, but I believe also here at the end of verse 25, we see for the provision of God. He says that I've not seen his seed begging bread. I think about the provision of God. God's provision comes in many different ways. It comes in many different ways. Many of us have jobs. God has graciously provided for us through that place of employment. That's how God has provided for us. But there are countless stories of how God has provided for people over the years. How many of you read anything about George Mueller? I mean, there's some testimonies of George Mueller that just absolutely just can blow your mind. But you see God's provision. A milk truck breaks down. That's one of the maybe most famous ones, right? And somebody comes in and says, hey, we're not sure what to do with all this milk. It's going to spoil. Can you use it? Because they were just previously praying for God's provision. It's amazing. God knows. We find here that God, His provision always comes on time. Think about the children of Israel. God knew that they had need for water. He provided water. God knew that they had need for food. He provided manna. And think about the miracle of manna. It's something that we know about intellectually. We're aware of manna. We understand. The children of Israel complained about it so often. But think about the miracle of manna, how every day it came out, there was manna. Not on the Sabbath, because on the day before, they're to gather twice as much, and it's not going to spoil. But if you did that on any other day, it would spoil. It'd grow warm. I mean, God, His provision. When I read this text, I immediately begin thinking about Elijah. He stood before King Ahab. And God said, get to the brook Cherith. What am I going to do with you there? Well, I've commanded the ravens to feed you. You know anything about ravens? They don't share. Right? You understand? They're really nasty birds. But God commanded the ravens to feed Elijah. And what did they do? I mean, can you imagine Elijah? I mean, in my mind's eye, I think about it, him sitting there at the brook Cherith, and he's got the water source, and bam, here comes the raven with some food. Isn't this great? And then however many hours later, here comes another raven with another meal. I mean, that's pretty awesome. That's what God did. And then the brook dried up. By the way, God knew that was going to happen, didn't He? What was the announcement before Ahab? It's not going to rain. What happens when it doesn't rain? Things dry up. That's what happens. So what did God do? Well, He just redirected him. Go over here. There's a widow in Zarephath. And He goes to that widow, and she's like, well, but we only have enough left for us to eat and die. But she did as the prophet commanded, and the meal wasted not. God's provision. God's provision. David says, I've been young, now I'm old. But as I reflect on my life, there are two things that I'm going to rejoice in. Number one is God's presence. And I've not seen the righteous forsaken. As I look back at my life, the righteous are not forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Turn to the book of Matthew, if you will, in chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, a great passage of Scripture that will help us in understanding this truth of the provision of God. I hope this evening that we rejoice because of God's presence. I hope this evening that we rejoice because of God's provision. In verse number 25 of Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? What's the answer to that question? Of course. We see how God provides for the birds. And then to think about our illustration a moment ago of God using a bird to provide for His servant. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Can you imagine the level of commendation that carries with it? Because when they thought about Solomon, what do they think about? the splendor and the glory and all of the... Remember when the Queen of Sheba came? She said, the half hasn't been told. I mean, absolutely just overwhelmed with what she witnessed. And God says that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, verse 30, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, it's kind of interesting because he just said that in verse 25, didn't he? He says, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, yet for your body, what you shall put on. And now in verse number 31, he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And then I want you to focus on this wonderful promise in verse number 32, this wonderful reality. For your heavenly Father knoweth, maybe you want to circle that word, underline it, that ye have need of all these things. He said this in verse number 8 of Matthew 6, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. God formed us. God made us. God knows what we need. And God is able to provide it for us. He uses different means at different times. We talked about the manna. We talked about the water that God provided. We talked about Elijah and the way that he provided for Elijah at the brook Cherith was different than he provided for Elijah at Zarephath. But God provided. We find in verse 32, the Bible says this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Begin to think about this passage in verse 30, 25 through 34. Begin to look at what God is revealing to us, and oh, how we can rejoice in knowing the provision of God. God promises to take care of us. I've said this often, the model prayer that Jesus gives when the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. The model prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. But for many of us, in this culture where we are, the reality is that many of us don't have to pray for our daily bread. The reality is that God has provided for us abundantly. He really has. I mean, many of us this evening, we have things in the pantry. We have things in the refrigerator. There's provision that God has given to us. Abundant provision. And we ought to rejoice in that. We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to recognize the good hand of God and His faithfulness. See, as we look at Psalm 37 and verse number 25, and we take a few moments this evening to consider this verse of Scripture and to notice that David takes this time of reflection and then there's this time of rejoicing, that really I hope that for us this evening that we too would recognize the faithfulness of God in our lives the same way that David did. We would say that through it all, God has been faithful. You know, I'm thankful that His faithfulness doesn't mirror my faithfulness. You ever think about that? What if God were just as faithful as I was? Or you say that of yourself as you were to Him. Oh, I'm thankful that His faithfulness toward me is not measured by my faithfulness toward Him. Though we strive to be faithful, our faithfulness just pales in comparison to His faithfulness. He is ever faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. We sing the song, and we should, because it is great. Often we find in the Scriptures where Paul, in the New Testament, he rejoices that God is faithful. He says that in 1 Corinthians. He then says to the believers in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And this evening, we see this recognition of God's faithfulness. David recognized the faithfulness of God because there was a time of reflection. He said, I was young, now I'm old. But as I reflect back over my life, it leads me to rejoice because of God's presence and because of God's provision. And this evening, I hope that we would leave here tonight rejoicing in God's presence and God's provision, and that we would recognize God has been faithful. In my life, God has been faithful. I remember the very first time, how many of you ever read that little poem, I guess is what it is, Footprints in the Sand? Have you ever read that before? Right? So, true story, we had that, my parents aren't here this evening, but they could vouch for me. We had that thing up in our hallway, on a nice picture in our hallway for probably 4 or 5 years when I was just a little kid. And I never read it one time. It was hanging in our hallway. And we were doing Christmas cards one year, and I was helping my mom. We were filling out Christmas cards. And the Christmas cards that we were filling out were called Footprints in the Snow. And I read it. Now, we weren't going to church, weren't saved, none of that kind of thing. But I read that thing, and I thought, that's pretty awesome. And I shared it with my mom. I'm like, did you ever read this? And she's like, it's kind of the same thing that's in the hallway. I was like, well, I never read that before. But if you've read it, and there was only one set of footprints, the way the poem goes, it was then that I carried you, is what God is saying, right? That's what that poem is kind of all about. See, God is faithful. And I'm so thankful that David recognized that. But in our lives, sometimes there needs to be that pause for a time of reflection. Look back. And as we reflect, we say, look at God's faithfulness. Oh, how faithful He is, and how we ought to rejoice in that. Let's pray together. Father, we do love You. We thank You so much for loving us. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the testimony of David. I thank You for the privilege that we have to study Your Word. I thank You for this prayer time that we can have, corporate prayer. I pray that this evening You would bless our time. I pray that You would be glorified. I pray that You'd work in our lives. Help us, Lord, as we leave with this thought from Psalm 37. I pray that the time of reflection in our lives would lead to rejoicing just as it did in David's life. And that, God, we'd recognize Your faithfulness. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for all that You do for us. I pray that You'd bless this time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.